Watermelon versus Pumpkin.
The intro played, you heard it. Welcome to the Watermelon versus Pumpkin podcast on the Just Baked Schwanofk.
Mm-hmm. This is that channel, man. We do all kinds of things, and we say all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And first we go, Alexa, set the alarm for 35 minutes.
That bitch.
Countdown. Today, we're going to cover a deep topic.
Soil.
Between two cheeks.
Between two spherical objects that compress the truth to a shoestring-like apparatus.
Realizing immediately that I don't know the year that it came out, but there is a classic song that I'm going to look up what year it came out, even though I watched a documentary on it.
Can I take a guess before you find it?
Please do.
I'm going to say 99, I think I heard.
Might have been 99.
I think I said 99.
We watched an entire documentary that Vice put out about the thong song by Cisco.
Thong, 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 thong. Thong, thong, thong. Okay, right on. Yes, if you know, then you know. If you don't know, do yourself a favor and look up the thong, T-H-O-N-G, thong song. And you're probably like, thong is a thong. But you got to remember, at the time, it was groundbreaking of what it was.
Released 1999.
99.
Off the album, Unleash the Dragon.
Unleash the
Not I really want to unleash the dragon.
I think I remember this album being on Columbia House. Not the records, but the Columbia House where you were able to get 30 CDs for a buck. Mm-hmm. If you know, you know, nigga.
Because these days, talking about the normal everyday of what's happening in life just is not interesting to us. So we're trying to dive down some avenues. And
I mean, it's interesting but depressing.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. That is true. That's a better way to put it. Yeah, it's interesting, but it's
just like, oh, nigga, deflate the balloon. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to entertainment.
You've been there. You live in that. So, hey, let's try to give you an escape. And the escape that we went to was going through the internet on YouTube, this documentary about the thong song, about 18 or 19 minute documentary. Revealing things, opening eyes,
opening thongs, booty cheeks,
cheeks, and putting the stripe down.
So the group was Drew Hill was the original group.
And Cisco was in.
Cisco was the lead vocalist in that group. So it kind of started off with him giving the backstory of himself and how he started out, which was to me phenomenal of knowing that how fucking young he was, because I didn't know that back then. I didn't really pay attention to a lot of bios, you know, sometimes, you know what I'm saying? I think it happens a lot sometimes. You kind of get into it, it's like, I'm either into them or I'm not. You know what I mean? If you get deep down that rabbit hole, you can start getting into the bio, you become a fanatic, you know, get crazy. Like, look, did you know his favorite food is spaghetti? Did you know that? You know, he like, no, I didn't. But I guess I just really never paid attention to the fact that he was like fucking 17 when he first got signed, you know?
Super young.
Yeah, he started packing fudge first. And
true.
True story. That wasn't a pun. It wasn't a diss. He was a fudge packer for, I think he said, like 3 years he made fudge.
He even called himself a Keebler elf.
He called himself a Keebler elf. 14 to 17, I believe, was the age group where he was at the fudge factory. At 17, they had him. This was back in the day now. This is how they did it back in the day. Found talent. They brought him to these executives, and they had them fucking show their talent right now. Go. You know what I mean? And it's just like you belted your ass off, or you sang, or you rapped, whatever you did, you showed it. And you had to wow these people in the room, you know what I'm saying?
And it's got to be comforting to know that back then, nobody had camera phones like that. So he said that, because at the job, they were singing as well. I guess it was some type of service thing where people come in to get the fudge, right. Almost like
a tip.
Cold Stone Creamery.
Yep.
Throw the tip, and they got to sing a dumb song.
Right? But they were like, wow, these kids can fucking sing. So I think everybody in the fudge shop, him and his boys that were worked there, that they were the niggas was belting. So he said, look, we need the fudge boys to come down.
The Fabulous Four Fudge.
To come down and belt for this executive down at Def Jam. And they did it, man. And they said, we want him. You know what I mean? 17 years old that guy was, man. Drew Hill had some joints. Look him up. D-R-U Hill.
Cisco was saying I noticed that he added the word official, but he said every official release that they put out went platinum or better. And I think that's single-wise, but still, that's a hell of a record, you know?
Right. And they had some joints, man. And I guess Woody, I think Woody. He said, shout out to Woody, was the name of the guy from the actual the band of Drew Hill, who said, "Nah, I won't do it." He didn't really elaborate why.
Yeah, they chose not to dive into that, but there's a whole lot more to that.
Right, Woody's exit. Woody's exit. That's what we're gonna call the name of that book, that documentary, probably.
And Cisco didn't say his name, right? Mm. One of the other people said it, or was it Cisco?
It was Cisco. Okay. He said Woody, because he said when Woody left, he said, you know, we said, well, while Woody's trying to figure out what he's trying to do, in the meantime, I'm going to go solo. That's what he said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which we think was probably, I don't know, maybe the initial plan.
That's a nice way of saying it. That's just a nice way of putting it to where. Right.
I was going to go dolo anyways, nigga.
Who knows? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You never know.
Like, you admit it, like, because he, remember at the time, too, he was, like, for the R&B singer, motherfuckers wasn't doing blonde and platinum hair. Like, his hair was silver platinum, man.
Oh, he was out there.
Yeah, nobody was doing that at that time like that, where it's like, oh, what's going on here, man? This guy's like a Silver Surfer and shit, wearing like weird leather and shit, you know?
Back in the day, too, there always was that one person of a group, though, like, because that was a big, even, man, you got to think, even back in wrestling back then, in all types of entertainment, there was always a group. Like, there was DX, there was the Nation of Domination, there was the Heart Foundation, there was always a group. Mm-hmm. And same shit with the R&B shit, there was always factions and there was groups. And within those groups, whether it was NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, Drew Hill, all the groups that they had, Boyz II Men, there was always that one different looking person to where they would stand out and you'd be like,
right.
They're not even necessarily the lead, but they're just.
It's so different that it pulls them out. Yeah. Busta Rhymes was like that with Leaders of the New School. Mm. It's kind of like, I remember Leaders of the New School, and you know, but Busta Rhymes, he was different. He wore the crazy shit. He had the crazy dreads. His voice, he was animated. You know what I mean? So it was kind of like, yeah, he stuck out. So to the point where it almost becomes a demand for them to go solo. It's like, no, nigga, we need you. We need more of just you.
We just want to see you. Yeah, yeah.
No disrespect to anybody else, but we really like you. Mm-hmm. So Cisco knew that. I think maybe, I don't know. But he was he presented it, like you said, in a respectful way. Like, yeah, you know, I just said, hey, guys, I'm going to do my thing solo until Woody comes back.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe Woody never came back.
He said, in the meanwhile, he said, while Woody finds out what he wants to do, I'm going to just do this solo shit real quick. So I'm going to do this. And then, hey, maybe Woody will be down to come back and we'll come back as Drew Hill. But ask Beyonce if you ever get back together.
Kelly, no.
For real. Oh, I might let you on the Super Bowl. Oh, we might do one song but you know what? You bitches on your own.
Right. Kelly Rowland was the only one. But I think Michelle tried to come out with, did she try to go solo too? I think.
Oh, I think they all had albums, there's a difference between, you know,
Beyonce and the rest. Yeah, it's like she was the reason why.
And once the toothpaste is out of the tube, once the genie is out the bottle, shout out to Christina Aguilera, it doesn't go back. Like, people don't even know that Gwen Stefani had a band. There's a group called No Doubt that Gwen Stefani was the leader of, and then she saw that solo money and went, oh, I can get anyone to play guitar.
Right, you know what I'm saying? This guy too, what's his name? The guy that does that show with her, Adam Levine, right? He was from Maroon 5, right? And it's like, he's like the lead of that, right? Right?
He's the singer, you know?
Oh, yeah. So I thought he was like the lead of that. So it's kind of like, yeah, no, but he's like, his solo career is like where he's at right now. I forgot that. Oh, no, you are Maroon 5, right? Okay. I don't know, niggas. Like, you branched off. Now you're known as being the heartthrob for, you know, the shows and your solo album.
It's the same with anything. Once you go solo, it's just not coming back. Fucking when Justin Timberlake went solo, NSYNC just doesn't exist anymore at that point. Right. It just doesn't happen. So
So it's tough to keep a group together, man. Yeah. When you think about it, it's got to be an understanding, man. Like, if you're not the fucking lead, you got to really kind of take that and know that that's what it is. Mm. And I think people, you know, a lot of those guys, they did at first, but then they get tired of it. Oh, this nigga gets all of this and that. He get all of this. He get all of that. You know what I mean? I was like the favorite kid in class. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, of course, the teacher's pet. Here he comes. He gets the fucking, you know, favorite straw every day.
And if you go solo and it works, the money is different.
Right. Right.
There's none of that 4-5-way split. Right. It's like, oh, I get it all.
Right. Ooh. And then hearing him talk and you could tell he had like that more creative thought process of, you know, and who knows, the other guys, I don't know them like that in the group, but they might have been just more, yeah, man, we just R&B smooth, conservative, we're traditional R&B artists. You know what I mean? So he might have had a bunch of ideas like, nah, Cisco, we not all gonna paint our hair silver. You know what I'm saying? We are not gonna wear this leather outfit shit you want us to wear to match you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
hey, it'll be dope. When Andre 3000 had on football pads and a fucking blonde wig, you know, big boy was still over there in the silk suit trying not to sweat. You know what
a shout out to when he had the fucking furry pants that he had in Dragnet. Mm-hmm. The little fucking furry, what the hell? Like, you know, he was in the fucking native campground.
That shit is beautiful. Doing the rain dance. Yeah, but like you said, there's some cats that are like, listen, I'm not about to jump all the way out there. The Locks famously were like, dude, these shiny suits are killing me. You know right. what I mean? Like,
see, nah, we're not doing that.
They would put it on, but you know, I'm going to put it on, but I ain't zipping it up. Right. You know, I'm not going to zip it
but
up,
at
though.
That point, it's like, what are we doing? You know, and yeah. that when they think, like, yo, we jeans and hoodies, man. Mm-hmm. This shiny shit is... That's
boy flies and boots.
Right. You know, that was like Diddy's way of trying to get back to the streets. I'm going to get to the streets, get these street niggas, and put them in suits. Right? Streets to suits. That's what I do. And street niggas like, no, we kind of like where we at in the streets with the love. We're going to stick there. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And that's kind of where they stayed, actually.
But
career-wise.
Oh, yeah. This is one of the things, too, that's interesting and happens often in every story you hear. Not every story, but in a lot of stories you hear about people making albums, is it starts off with... The album was done. And then we just wanted to see what else people had. You know what I'm saying? It was the yeah. album was done. Then, like, the dragon was ready to be unleashed. And yep. then we were just like, you know what? Let's check in with a couple of different cats, see what you guys em. Got. Let's leash the dragon back up. Let's put the collar back on the dragon.
Wrap him up real quick.
And
then we'll unleash him later.
They said, hey, we're just going to check around. So they went to these producers.
Yep.
And I don't even remember the name. I don't know if they had a group.
The two producers, they were just two regular names.
Yeah.
I think one was Kevin, and I forgot the other guy.
Might have been Mitchell, something like
yeah,
that. But
yep.
These cats make beats, you know what I mean? All that.
Right.
And
they gave down there. They gave a little rundown of who they worked with. They were, at that time, they were working with all the names of the 90s R&B scene. Everybody there named, mm-hmm. I think 112 was in there. You know what I'm saying? You know, anybody that was at that time was popping.
They were the go-to for the R&B
right.
joints. And
right.
what they were doing in their meantime is they heard that Michael Jackson was working on something, so they were making beats for Mike as well. And... The whole story sounds good, and if this is the truth, this is the truth, and I'm not mad about it. But
right.
what they say is there was this one track that they were making, and the dude made the Thong Song beat in front of us on the
right.
documentary, which was dope.
Right.
He said that beat was accidentally put on the DAT tape that they gave to Cisco, but the beat was made for Michael Jackson.
Right, and he said it had just so happened was the when they went to, you know, because this was back in the day when producers did this, you had the CD or whatever, they came, you sat down, popped the CD in, played, this is what I... You know, burnt down, ripped down on a CD for you
mm-hmm.
to check out which one you like. And the first one on the fucking CD, which wasn't supposed to be for him, was up there.
Yeah.
Was that one. And he said he tried to do it. Oh, it was just. He says, just going back. No, no, no. Play that one again, man.
Yeah. Play that first one.
Play that first one.
Because he was also saying, too, everything else that was on the beat tape was this. The R&B stuff that they were expecting from Cisco, which
right.
was, well, and from Drew Hill, they went in the same vein of just like, yo, these are the slow beat, you know, for,
right. the R&B
yo, gotta
melodies.
Make the joints for the ladies.
Right.
It was that
melodies.
Type of stuff.
But it was like, we, you know, gotta get that hit off that joint,
yep.
which, you know, so then they came down to, he created the beat, and I guess when he said, you know, let me get this, he said, he told him, I actually be honest with you, man, that was a mistake, that's actually for Mike, we got a picture for Mike, and he was like, mm-hmm. oh, he said, but on the way, he said he called him as he was on his way flying back. He called him when he flew back to Atlanta or whatever. He called him, was like, yo, man, go whatever I got to do, man, I want that done. And he was like, yo, he wouldn't stop. But he was like, yo, he said, when an artist is that hungry for it, he's like, he said, yo, I'm going to jump back on the plane as soon as I get off. If you tell me I can have it, I'm getting off this plane and I'm coming right back to get it right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He's like, damn, you wanted that bad? You know what
yeah.
I mean? He's like, and that was like out of their comfort zone of what they made. You know what I mean? They're like, they tried something different. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's like, let's try something different for Mike. Something, you know, edgy.
Experimental.
Right.
Something out there. And I like what the brother was saying as well, to where, like you're saying, if you want it that bad, then, yo, there's something else going on here. You know what I mean? So we might just have to go with the flow here of,
go
like,
with
hey, you might know something I don't know. And
because right. it either turns into the greatest thing or like, ah, oh, man, shit. Damn, we should have given
yeah,
it to
Mike. You wasted that joint. Damn.
Mike would have tore that shit mm-hmm. up.
And one of the big problems with the beat, too, just like many rap and R&B in that genre, is they sampled the Beatles, which is the worst thing you can ever fucking do because they're
right.
going to come and get their money.
Right. Well, they bought that one.
Yeah.
You know, they bought that Beatles. Or is that the one that they redid?
Well, that's what I was going into, okay, is that what you can do apparently in the music industry is if somebody replays it in a different way, but it's close enough, but it's different enough, you can kind of circumvent that.
And hence the Vanilla Ice Baby, which they took from
David Bowie Under Pressure. But his best explanation ever was the Vanilla Ice when he said, no. See, mine goes, and his goes,
right.
Yeah, okay.
See the difference? Like,
yep.
No. One little sound prevented them from getting sued. So, you know, I guess Cisco hired the guy.
Bruce! And you know what? The crazy thing, too, how I'm saying, like, how the universe goes together. First, I love the name Bruce. This gentleman's name was Bruce Dukoff, right?
That's just fucking epic.
Now, me, I deliver packages for a living, for a company. And when sometimes I have to go into buildings, sometimes I have to sign in at the buildings. I sign in as Bruce Duke for every time I sign into the building. So then I'm watching this documentary, and this dude's name is Bruce Dukoff, and I'm like, yo, it was meant to be. Show Bruce me a Duke. Sign. Got a sign, you know?
Bruce Duke should be the new nickname. That's got to be the new alias. For now on, is Bruce Duke in the building.
Exactly. Because it sounds good. There's a lot of lip service there with the buh and the duh and the mm. Feels good. But so they hire this violin player because Cisco was saying, man, this is amazing, but we could take it somewhere else. So right. He hired Bruce Duke, who had played on Bruce Dukoff, who had played on Frank Sinatra shit, different,
Star Wars. He did a bunch.
Yeah. He was out there with it. He was, you know, the dude when it came to playing.
You want violins? This is your guy.
And what they were saying is Cisco told him, like, no, I want you to play something like, and then he hummed it. And then Bruce just, oh, you mean like this? Murdered the game. Exactly.
Like, damn, nigga, yeah, like that.
And then we need something behind it with a dun and say, oh, you mean like dun 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 dun? Yeah. Yep. Like
when
that.
When he was showing that, and I was like, he goes, yeah, because I was like that. Dun, 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 dun. I'm like, what part is that? And then when he went over it, I'm like, oh, that part.
There it is, Bruce.
Dun, 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 dun. I was like, Bruce, you're the fucking man, bro. Uh-huh. I was trying to figure out what part that when he was going. And I'm like, what part is that? And yep. I'm like, oh, that's the like main drive in the fucking song of that. Dun, 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 yep. Dun.
That's the part you don't really notice until someone shows it to you. Right.
Just to think it was that he did it. Maybe I thought maybe the guy who made the beat was a. Dun, dun, yep. Dun, dun, you know what I mean? Thinking maybe it was just a button push. Dun, 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 dun. Like, no, that was a. Mm-hmm. Oh. And I think Dr. Dre was one of the ones that said it the best in an interview when they were asking him. They were like, damn, Dre, why do your beats sound so like he had such, you have such good boom to him? And it's like, what is it, you know, about your beats? And he was like, you know, one of the key, he said, I can tell all the secrets. He said, but. The key thing to those sounds are using live instruments, man.
Yeah, real instruments. Yeah.
Using real instruments to get those samples from. It's like, that's the only way. You need live instruments to get that natural bass. And you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He goes, my bass came from natural basses. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. From actual pull motherfuckers in the studio playing. Boom, 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 boom. I got it sampled. It. Now he locks it in the box and he can use it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the key.
Yeah.
You know, and that violin, man, I think really made that song with that dun, 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 dun. It kind of controlled the rhythm all together, man, because they're the guys who made it. And it's funny, though, because it was like when he first heard it, he was like,
it's not mine
anymore.
Yeah,
I don't really, you know, he said, it don't even sound like my beat, man. And you know, but I'm cool with change. And I felt like that nigga lying. I'm pretty sure you bitched about it. Yo, man, that fucked up, man. We trying to change my shit, man.
I think, like, just like everybody, you're cool with it once it works. Because if that shit didn't work, then you would be like, man, see, you fucked it up by adding all that other shit. Yo, if we just kept it like it was, it would have been fine.
Bruce probably was cheaper than that fucking payout for that, right?
True.
You know what I'm saying? Bruce is like, you know, I'm going to get mine, so I ain't going to charge it to you. Like, I'm out here doing violins all over the place. But his whole demeanor was great. Like, Bruce Dukoff was like, you know, he's just, you know, a violinist. He's got the, he talks very like he sounds like a violinist should, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, very classical, you know. And they have this, and they want me to do the song for Def Jam Contacts Me. You know, he's like, he's holding his violin. He's like, yeah, you're doing a thong song, bro.
Like, yep. Because even Bruce was saying when he's just like, dumps like a truck. What are you talking about, guys? That was the best.
Like, come on, what does that mean? So Cisco had to explain that dumps like a truck wasn't talking about shit, you know, girls shitting, which, you know, as a kid, that's probably where most people were like, dumps like a truck. Like, she's dumping like a truck. He's like, no, I meant like beep, beep, backing everything up, dump like a dump truck. It's like, I got it, but yeah.
You thought about that afterwards. Cool.
Because you had to, because they were shitting on you, like, literally, dumps like a truck, dies like what?
And with those certain producers, what they were saying too is usually they were full service producers where they would make the beat and write the lyrics and do everything else with it. Right. So they said it was stepping out of their comfort zone.
And that's another thing they didn't really dwell into, but you could tell that there was a lot of friction probably behind really making it because of that. You know what I mean? It's like, they said Cisco came and was like, yo, I want to, they're like, whoa. Like, you know, they're we're hands on with our shit. Hold on, nigga, you got all these ideas.
Mm-hmm. You're opening up my fridge right now. You know what I'm saying? I told you I was going to cook you something, and now you're in my fridge.
With a stick of butter, like, yo, I can use this? Like, yeah. How you going to grab it already and then ask if I could use it? Like, exactly. You already got it in your hand, motherfucker.
Yeah. You got the cap off, and it's at your lips asking if you could have a drink. Yo, I mean? A sip?
Yo, that used to be the joke back in the day. Like, motherfuckers have their hands fucking 3/4 down your bag of chips. Yo, I can get some chips?
Yep.
Nigga, your hand's in the bag already. It's already there. What the fuck? It's either going to be like, smack your hand or just go, hey, you're already there.
Mm-hmm.
The fuck?
And another thing about the documentary, with hindsight being 2020, so okay, they make this song, which was funny too. The record label did not release Thong Song as the first single. They went with something else.
Let Go or something.
Yeah, something that didn't work. And so then 2-3 weeks in a promotion, they just go, pull the trigger, we're going Thong Song.
Right, due to the DJs.
Yep.
They said the DJs, when they were getting albums, like, yo,
this is the one.
This is the, we're not playing the other shit. Yep. Yo, can we just play the open? This is the lead single. Like, nigga, no. Look at the crowd. Look, the Thong Song is the one, man. Come on, man. You. And then they were like, okay, we fucked up. All right, yeah, no, wait, we can save this. Drop it.
And you know Cisco what I mean? Said that the lyrics came from real life about how he was basically writing out the story about being on a date with a woman of, ooh, that girl so scandalous, and you know another man couldn't handle it. Talking about, oh, shit, she was dressed crazy, man, and I'm feeling cocky today where, yo, I know no, but man, I'm the one that'll get this down here.
Right.
Then he was saying another one of his boys came in, talking about he was on a date and some girl gave him up that thong, 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 thong.
Right.
And he was like, yo.
Said, Cable said, yo, I had a girl. I was a chick last night, and guess what she gave me? He said, what?
He said, thong. Gather around.
Gather around. Guess what she gave me? He goes, well, he said, that thong, 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 thong. And, you know, and they all laughed. And he's like, yo, I should put that. And he was singing. And he's like, I should put that in the song. And they're like, yeah, that's crazy. Don't do that. And he goes, I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
And he added that part in. When he was going to that Thong Song, that part, that's when he said he was doing shit people weren't doing, where he was raising things. And it was, you think about it, when you listen to that song, it got really climactic at that point. It was true. He's like, yo, it got really almost sexual, where it's like, you know, and it's like, it did kind of take that
it went up.
It did. It's like, oh, you get it. Man! He starts screaming and shit. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay.
Yeah, Cisco, he does have a great scream sing, just like Casey and JoJo, like some female singers as well, to where you're like, you just sound good when you're yelling. You're not even singing at this point. Exactly. Like, you just sound good while yelling. And then Cisco also had a lot of problems with the vocal, unfortunately, because what they did, they circumvented the Beatles by, hey, we're going to have this brother over here play it. Like you said, Eleanor Rigby, you can't sample that, but you can have a cat play the violin. But you cannot go living la vida loca because someone already did that, brother.
Ooh,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it was only one little part. It wasn't even a main drive of that. It wasn't like he kept saying it, but it was part of the hook. She was living la vida loca. Yeah,
maybe part of the
jump like a jump.
Yeah, it was like the bridge right before the hook, right?
Yeah, right, yeah. And it was like, but I'm like, yeah, you couldn't even say it because if he said it in the same cadence as Ricky Martin, living la vida loca.
Yeah.
You know, so it lawsuits came. Mm. And like you said before when we were talking, it's like, yeah, you know, that's because it was a hit. That's not a hit. They're like, what are we going to sue him for?
Exactly. If that didn't blow like it blew, then what are you going to do? Right. You're not going to go after somebody for something that didn't
went
go
wood,
like that.
Went double wood. We want in.
And now here's where the finger pointing comes in the documentary, which is funny because Cisco,
that was great. Yep.
Cisco didn't really even talk about it too much, but everybody else in it was like, yo, we told him you're not going to be able to do that shit. And it's like,
yeah, the one with the glasses, Kevin, when he was like, he said, and I was thinking back on it because the way he said it, he was like, you know, and I think, you know, they said that and I was like, and I was thinking back when I told him, like, yo, Cisco. Yo, that literally makes you get that clear. You might get that clear. And he said that he told him, and Cisco told him, any number of phone call, he's close with the guy who wrote the song. You know what I mean? So
and then apparently he never made the phone call. And then the Cisco's manager had the best thing of all. Well, no one ever told me to click. Bro, you guys didn't listen to this song. You're not in the business. Right. And you heard him say Living La Vida Loca.
Nobody around your camp was like, yo, that's kind of like Ricky Martin shit right there, right? Living La Vida Loca. Like Ricky Martin. Like nobody said that reference to be like, ooh, maybe we should watch. Like we're not talking a long time ago. We're talking about this is the 90s and copyright infringement, all that shit was going down, man. You know what I'm saying?
Heavy,
like,
heavy.
Like, you couldn't just do shit like that. Ricky Martin was up in his, you know, battling with his things. Like, I don't know if I'm going to come out or not. What the fuck? You know, they're going to accept me. And I got hits and shit. And then all of a sudden, niggas taking my shit? Making hits on my shit?
And see, what they could have done, too, is if they actually did it how they were supposed to, it might have went with a lower number because you might have been able to go, hey, man, we're trying to clear this song for Cisco. He's doing a solo album. He said Living La Vida. That number might have been way different because back then in the day, no, Cisco wasn't a nobody, but he wasn't the person where you're just like, oh, Cisco's about to blow doing
right.
It would.
Right, right.
They weren't expecting it to do what it did, you know?
No, it took a whole that launched his solo career. Oh, yeah. That was the one for him.
Like, that's the reason why he got on. All right, if Thong Song doesn't happen, does he get on what these bitches want from him? You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Somebody let me know. Right. Come on, is he really?
Nah.
So I'm fucking with Drew Hill. Does that happen without Thong Song? I don't know.
Nope. he not getting none of that. You know what's crazy, though? Because they weren't in the same room when they interviewed them, to ask them, but out of that, when they were talking, the only one really smiling about the whole thing was Cisco. You know what I mean? Like,
well, all the other cats, you heard them talk about, like, yeah, and then our publishing checks started
shrinking.
But when they asked Cisco, he goes, no, everyone, you know, everyone.
Took care of everybody. Everybody was good. Yeah
but let the other cats tell it. They're like, no, the La Vida Loca guys, like, they own more of it than anybody else. So,
like, right. First Bruce, now Ricky. Who else we going to fucking cut in, nigga? Who else we got to cut in this motherfucker, man?
Exactly. That's when it starts getting, you know, wiry.
Because they didn't fucking, he had his own little, he was ready to pay for his little payout for that sample he used, and it's like,
exactly.
It's like, no, I'm going to hire a guy that we're going to cut in because now he's going to get a part of the song because he's going to play the violin.
Yeah, man.
Bruce wasn't in the video, though, huh?
Bruce should have been in the video, man.
Like, I want to say there was a violinist in that video, but it probably was an imposter. Now that I think about it wasn't.
It probably
Bruce.
Had somebody playing the part.
Probably a hot chick in a thong. I'm not sure. I gotta go back and watch.
And that video was groundbreaking in the days because it was more of like a BET Uncut video where there was a whole lot of cheeks.
A lot of butt cheeks. A whole show lot that of back stuff. Then. Yeah, it wasn't. The thong is like, he said that there were a lot of regulations that they said they couldn't actually show the thong. Mm-hmm. So if it's funny when they show clips of it, like we're going to go back and watch the video. But in the clips, it's like they didn't really show what a thong, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, and they had them a lot of side shots. So even when they were laying on the bed, it's like, that's not a thong. Those are just like panties, like regular bikinis.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It was a thong is like, no, it's up there.
Well, yeah, because it was seen, then it seemed to be a difference between there was the thong, but then there was also the string bikini that there was, not all thongs are created equal, I think is what we're trying to say here.
Right.
So they use more of the wider thongs to bypass.
Right. The one that just gives a slight wedge at the bottom. Not the one that's all up in the crease. So to say.
Also, Cisco was doing, and that's when there were big budget videos. Like, bro, he was on wires and shit, pretending to run across people, and it was,
he enjoyed that one.
And like you said, we're going to be reacting to that video on our channel, so keep an eye out for that. Yeah. Man, but I didn't expect the thong song to be such a journey of a story, and you just think of a, all right, yo, yeah, that was a pre-made pop song,
right? I don't remember the lawsuit. Like I said, I was a lot younger then too, so.
But that was also when that stuff wasn't covered or paid attention to, like, right. that's behind the scenes shit back in the day.
If you got your Source magazine or something, you know what I'm saying, you might have read the article,
but
other than that, or you know, MTV thing, they talked about it real quick, but it wasn't as like now, man. It's like you're getting influence. It's coming like that. Mm-hmm. Every second it's happening, you're getting it. You're getting the updates of what the trial's like, what's going on, who tweeted what.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Back then it was just like, no, It happened, and now it falls into the shadows until they go back to court or something. You know what I'm saying?
And these days, people care more about the business side of music. Like back in the day, no one gave a fuck about business in the music. If you were just a fan, nowadays you see stuff and you notice, like, oh shit, he signed to him. So what does he get paid off of him? And you know, there's
now we have more access to information. Exactly. So now we feel as though we're agents and shit. Like nigga, go back to being a listener, man.
Yeah, but yeah, like you said, people are busier into the behind the scenes stuff nowadays. When back then, it was just, oh my God, this is some wild shit. That was it.
This is there, and that was one of the biggest things somebody had told me one time. It's just nowadays it's more, it's not even so much of how talented that person is. It's just the access you can have to them.
Yeah,
who's more interesting to you behind the scenes, and you totally blank out and if their music is better than somebody else or how good it really is because you're just wrapped up in who they are and not what they're giving you. You know
that
what I'm saying?
It's interesting that untouchable shit used to be what people wanted. Like, think, like, you can't have access to what George Clooney is eating today. You get, like, Brad Pitt's not taking a selfie of his workout today. Old school movie stars like that. Like, I don't think Denzel's on the gram. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, but that, so that, like, old untouchable shit used to be the thing of the mystery of it and the wonderment of, oh my God, because I don't know what is behind the curtain. And now,
It's the curtain's jerked. It's just everything's there. And it kind of takes away from the entertainment side, I think, in a sense sometimes. It's because, you know, the element, I remember being younger, man, and the element of, like, getting that rare footage of, like, yo, he did some regular shit. Shit we see all the time right now. When we were younger, when we seen it once, it was a spectacle, you know what I'm saying? Because it was rare.
That's that old school, footage. They're just like us. You know, it's that type of shit.
Now it's just like, oh, they're all just like us. It becomes this point, it's like, okay, I'm going to sit. You sit around and you watch, you know, people that are maybe already successful and millionaires and how they're doing things. And either you're a fan of it or you're just sitting home getting jealous, you know? You know, I mean, at some point, but it's like,
there's definitely another aspect of it to it, a different way to read and pronounce. Dude, they're just like us. We could do it. You know what I mean? It's that instead of, oh my God, they're just like us. Look how cool it is. Now it's, yo, they're just like us, man.
It's almost like people aren't cool with or adapt to actually just being okay with just following them. You know what I mean? Like, just being a listener and a fan of that person and being okay with that. Now you got to be a spokesman. You got to be the promoter. You got to be the fucking bodyguard. You know what I mean? They're online like, fucking, who's talking about my fucking favorite today? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of energy, man. Where the point where you become obsessed, where you're not even into the music. You're so into the person and who they are. Like, you know, Tekashi has that kind of shit where people are so big into Tekashi 6ix9ine that you forget he even makes music. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're like, I forgot he even makes music. He's entertaining to act like an asshole, you know, online and talking shit, trolling or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
So music is almost a byproduct of the entertainer now.
Right.
You know?
Right.
All right, let's shut this shit down because that shit was dope.
Was dope. That's a t-shirt, nigga.
No, but I'm trying to think, man. Anything more about the Thong Song? It was cool to see a documentary on it because, like I said, back in the day, you just thought like, oh, it's just a pop song that probably somebody wrote and it doesn't matter about. But there was more to the story, which I thought was cool. You know,
yeah, I like the makeup of songs. Like I said, once again, we didn't have access back then, so we didn't know shit like that. So now, kind of rehatching is like, oh, that what happened back then? Is a pretty dope experience. You know what I mean? So for those that are from that bracket that know that song, go back and check it. And if you don't, look into it, man. It almost makes me want to look into a Drew Hill documentary because I feel like they have one.
It could be probably VH1 Behind the Music.
I think Cisco had one of his own Behind the Music, I think. Okay. Either all about Cisco or all about Drew Hill.
Nice.
You know what I mean? But
Hey, we'll leave a link to the documentary. It's a quick documentary. It's less than 20 minutes. Like, literally, our coverage of the documentary is longer than the documentary. So if you want to check it out, I'll put a link down below to that Vice doc. Man, Cisco dumps like a truck. What? Thighs like what?
And he was one of the first ones to do the freaky color hair shit.
Yeah.
I mean.
Silver bullet.
It was the platinum bullet, man. He was like 5'1", little dude. But I was like, for me, it was just, I was more, I guess, thrown back at how young that he really was. I had no idea he was fucking 17.
Young buck.
Because, you know, he looked, you know, one of the 17-year-olds, like, he's short, but he looks older. You know what I mean? He looked like he was in his 20s somewhere, you know?
I think that's the Keebler Elf status. They're younger, but they're older, you know.
Older, but they look
small hands, but strong. That type of joint.
It's just everything.
Mm-hmm. But hey, Till next time, man. We'll watch some wild shit and we'll cover some wild shit next time. That's the only promise we could bring.
It's promises. They're all promises. Mm-hmm. We love you, people. At the end of the day,
hey, it's the beginning of the night.
You niggas are special to us in a really Cisco kind of way. Mm-hmm. Dung dung.
Dumps like a truck. Quatermelon versus Pumpkin.